Let us go to the Lord again in prayer. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word and we thank you for the comfort that is found therein. We thank you that you're there. We thank you that you're not silent. We thank you that you have spoken. And we thank you that we can trust what you have said. We admit, at least I can say for myself, I think all too often I believe many of these things more in my head than I do in my heart. Sometimes it takes a while for our hearts to catch up to our heads. But someday there'll be no dichotomy. The heart, the head, every fiber of our being will all be unified with one great, glorious hallelujah of praise unto you in eternity. Not that we'll be sitting around in some religious worship service. It appears there'll be some type of activity. But whatever it is that in which we will be involved on the new earth, in the new heavens, it will be a perfect praise unto you. We'll see you. We'll be with you. And we do not know how all of that can happen at one time. How the multiplied millions will all be with you. Seemingly crowding about the throne. Many questions unanswered. But however it will be, we shall be satisfied. May that day be soon. Bless us to abide faithful until our departure or the return of the Lord. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. We come to the 13th chapter now, which is somewhat more intensified as to what I believe will be in the future. I want to take the time to read the whole chapter. Then we'll come back and look at it more in depth. And I stood upon the sand of the sea and saw a beast rise up out of the sea, having seven heads and ten horns, and upon his horns ten crowns, and upon his head, or upon his heads, the name of blasphemy. You note that we came across that in verse 3 of the 12th chapter, the seven heads and ten horns and seven crowns. And the beast which I saw was like unto a leopard, and his feet were as the feet of a bear, and his mouth as the mouth of a lion. And the dragon gave him his power and his seat and great authority. We know who the dragon is. And I saw one of his heads as it were wounded to death, and his deadly wound was healed. And all the world wondered after the beast. And they worshiped the dragon, which gave power unto the beast. And they worshiped the beast, saying, who is like unto the beast, who is able to make war with him? And there was given unto him, that is to the beast, a mouth speaking great things and blasphemies. And power was given unto him to continue 42 months. There's that 3.5 years again, that 1260 days, that time, times, and half a times. Notice, we'll say more about that when we get to it, but notice the beast didn't take the power. It was given to him. God's sovereignty. You remember Satan couldn't do anything to Job or to Job's substances until God gave it to him. And whatever comes our way, whatever's going on in our nation, we need to realize that God has given it. It doesn't happen without purpose and without cause. Verse 6, and he opened his mouth in blasphemy against God to blaspheme his name and his tabernacle and them that dwell in heaven. And it was given unto him to make war with the saints. Strange, isn't it? God gives to him to make war with us. And to overcome them. And power was given him over all kindreds and tongues and nations. Sounds like a one world government, does it not? That our politicians have been talking about for decades. It doesn't matter whether they were Democrat or Republican, they all have been talking about it. They all have been working toward it. And you can see that where we are today is part of that whole system. And all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him, whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. I like that. If any man have an ear, let him hear. He that leadeth into captivity shall go into captivity. He that killeth with the sword must be killed with the sword. Here's the patience and the faith of the saints. You see, these people that bring people into captivity, they don't realize they're going to be going into captivity. And I beheld another beast coming up out of the earth. And he had 2 horns like a lamb, and he spake as a dragon. Now I'm going to give you a sneak preview. We'll try to show this and substantiate this as we go further. I believe this second beast is what we'll find later on at the false prophet. And he exercises all the power of the first beast before him, and causeth the earth and them that dwell therein, the earth dwellers, to worship the first beast, whose deadly wound was healed. And he doeth great wonders, so that he maketh fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men. You talk about a miracle. You talk about a wonder. That's a wonder. You say, you believe that's literal fire? Well, I have to believe that because I don't know what else to call it. That's what God calls it. And deceiveth them that dwell on the earth. Notice, it deceives the non-elect, but it will not deceive the elect. You remember in Matthew 24 where Jesus said, if it were possible, they would deceive the very elect. But it's not possible. You say, well, how is it that we're not going to be deceived? I don't know. He doesn't give all the how-tos of this. Other than saying, we must believe the Bible. We must believe what God said. But anyway, verse 14 again, and deceiveth them that dwell on the earth by the means of those miracles which he had power to do in the sight of the beast, saying to them that dwell on the earth that they should make an image to the beast which had the wound by a sword and did live. You say, well, we live in a more intelligent society than that. Well, there's a society, unless it's changed, and I haven't looked into it in years. There's a society here in this country called the Bohemian Society. And when they meet, it's Democrats and Republicans, by the way, when they meet together, they have a statue where they meet that, and they, it's kind of like the statue of Molech, and they do a sacrifice to that statue. So these intellectual people, you can see how that it's not unheard of and it's not far-fetched to think of what might be in the future. Verse 15, and he had power to give life unto the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause that as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed. And he causeth all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their foreheads, and that no man might buy or sell save he that had the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name. Here's wisdom. Let him that hath understanding count the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man, and his number is 600, 666, or the 666. And so God has his people marked. The devil has his people marked. I don't think it's necessarily a physical mark, but God has them, has his mark in their forehead, that is, in their minds and what how they think and so on. I'm not so superstitious about 666. One of my bills, the account number is has a number, two letters, then another number, and it ends in 666. I kind of laugh about it every time I pay that bill. I don't think there's anything about that number 666 in it. It just happened to be somebody else probably has the same account number, except they probably have 665, and somebody else has 667. So, you know, that's like some buildings. They don't even have a 13th floor on their. You know, they go from 12 to 14, and so on the elevator you don't see a 13, and so on. Well, I'm not superstitious. I believe in God. All right, the beast. We have two beasts talked about in this book. This chapter, in this chapter, we are still in the interlude between the seventh trumpet and the first bowl. You know, as we have gone through the book of Revelation, we have, you know, we had John was caught up in the fourth chapter and kind of interlude there, and then they had the six seals, and then they had an interlude between the sixth and the seventh seal, and then after the seventh seal, then there was another kind of interlude, and then it opened up into the seven trumpets. And between the sixth and the seventh trumpet, there was a interlude. And from time to time, we get these roadside stops, as it were, a rest area, as we're traveling on this road toward glory. And we come to a rest area, and we pick up some pamphlets, and we kind of get another view of and another image of where we're going. And in the midst of this, we're seeing how that in the midst of our journey, though it is getting worse and worse, in some ways, God still is taking care of his children in the midst of it. And it still shows God as the sovereign God of history. Satan nor the world leaders can do anything other than what God allows them to do. God made an anointed cherub. His name was Lucifer. But he didn't make him a devil. He fell and became a devil. You say, well, how could he, being good and very good, all of a sudden be bad? I don't know, other than he did. Adam was made good and very good, but he sinned. He didn't make him a sinner. God didn't cause him to sin. But he was created in such a way that he could sin. And he did sin, and the sin was his fault. And the devil's sin was his fault. It wasn't God's fault. But yet the devil couldn't have done it unless God had allowed it and given it to him to do what he did. So the same God in creation is the same God in Revelation. It's the same God. Pharaoh could do no more than what God allowed him to do. And God raised Pharaoh up for the purpose of showing God's power. And so on. And we saw that, though we haven't been preaching on all of this, but we see that as we read through the scriptures time and time and time again. And though we'll get to that verse a little bit later here in verse 2, when it talked about the leopard and the bear and the lion. Well, in history, when it was unfolding in the book of Daniel, we saw the lion, the bear, and the leopard. The lion was what? The Babylonian Empire. The bear was the Medo-Persian Empire. See, Medo-Persia was one empire, two parts of it, but one empire. It wasn't the Medes an empire and the Persian an empire, the Medo-Persian. If you remember in the book of Daniel, the bear, he had one side was lifted up above the other, showing that one part of that Medo-Persian Empire, the Medes were stronger than the Persians. And then the leopard was the Grecian Empire. And so we can see that that Daniel was looking forward in history. Revelation is looking backward in history. And what we saw that was to come out of the book of out of Daniel going forward was this creature that had seven heads and ten horns. In Revelation, we see this creature that has seven heads, ten horns. So you can see the connection. But anyway, I'm getting ahead of myself. But in this interlude that's between the seventh trumpet and the first vial, because we'll see that this interlude is going to go through chapters 14 and 15. The vials don't come till the first chapter, the first verse of chapter 16. So we're still in this interlude. And we have this chapter and the next chapter. And before we pick up the sequence of Revelation. And here we have two persons described and the moving force behind these two persons. These two persons are two beasts. Now, the question is this beast going to be visualized in one individual? Or is it going to be one government or one entity or one something of that nature? We can't say for sure, but I believe that somehow it will be localized or visualized or materialized possibly in one individual. But we can't be for sure. Why? Because the Bible doesn't tell us exactly. And so that's the reason we have different ideas about the book. And I respect many men that have different ideas. But anyway, we have here we have the two persons described as the moving force. And we have the two persons, the beast out of the sea and the beast out of the earth. And who is the moving person behind those two beasts? The dragon. Who's the dragon? Satan. The devil. All right? So we have the beast out of the sea in Revelation 13:1, the beast out of the earth, Revelation 13:11. And Satan is the moving force behind them. And in this chapter, we come to the climax of the end of the events as was found in Daniel chapter 7. We're not going to go back and we're not going to study Daniel chapter 7 and all of that. The beast out of the sea. As we have already mentioned from verse 2, that this beast out of the sea is like unto a leopard and a bear and a lion. It's like unto a bear and a leopard, a bear and a lion. And like we said, Daniel saw a beast like a lion and a bear and a leopard. Let's look at that for just a moment. I'm sure you're familiar with it, but maybe somebody out there in the internet, they might not even have a Bible, might be able to just listen. Let's look in Daniel chapter 7. Daniel chapter 7. Let's just start in verse 1. In the first year of Belshazzar, king of Babylon, Daniel had a dream and visions of his head upon his bed. Then he wrote the dream and told the sum of the matters. Daniel spake and said, I saw in my vision by night, And behold, the four winds of the heaven strove upon the great sea. Now, what was the great sea? Very likely, the Mediterranean. If you remember reading through the scriptures, often the Mediterranean was called the Great Sea. But the sea, and I won't take the time to show all of this, or probably should have, but the sea also is a term that is used throughout the scriptures to represent the world empires and the different nations, the seas, and so on. We'll see some of that. And so this beast, whatever it is, comes from the world governments. Verse 3, and four great beasts came up from the sea, divers one from another. So out of all of the peoples of the world, out of the sea comes these four great empires. Is that clear? All right, because this is important with that sea. In Revelation 13, the first was like a lion and had eagle's wings. Some of the ruins of ancient Babylon, they have lions with wings on them. Whether you're an amillennialist, premillennialist, postmillennialist, whether you're windmill or a-mill or whatever kind of mill you are, no one denies that. I mean, that, you know, that just, nobody should even deny that, to know Scripture. I beheld till the wings thereof were plucked, and it was lifted up from the earth and made stand upon the feet as a man, and a man's heart was given to it. And beheld another beast, a second, like to a bear, and it raised up itself on one side. I kind of got ahead of myself a few minutes ago, didn't I? And it had three ribs in the mouth of it, between the teeth of it. Three ribs. I thought I had it. These are three different smaller nations. I just went blank as to what these three, Lydia was one of them, and I can't remember exactly the other two right now, but anyway, you don't need to, anyway, it makes sense. And it had three ribs in the mouth of it, between the teeth of it, and they said unto it, arise, devour much flesh. So that was the Medes and the Persians, Medo-Persians. After this, I beheld and another like a leopard, which had upon the back of it four wings of a fowl. The beast had its four heads, and a dominion was given it. And so you can see this from Daniel chapter 7, with regard to this beast that that we see in history, and these three beasts that came up out of the sea, it got its power just the same way these other empires got their power. You see, government is involved. Government is involved. Warfare is involved. You need to not be surprised of warfares that go on the earth. You should not be surprised when one empire topples another empire. And since America is just another worldly empire, it ultimately is going to be toppled. We don't like to hear that, and we may live to see it. We don't know. You say, well, why all this scare tactic? I'm not doing scare tactic. I am warning God's children. And I am trying to exegete the Word of God and be as faithful as Daniel was to talk about those empires that were coming in his day and some after his day. And we're to talk about God gave this book to God's people. God gave the book of Revelation to you, the people of God. The first verse of the book of Revelation tells us that. The revelation of Jesus Christ. This is the unveiling of Jesus Christ and what's to take place prior to His coming. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave to him to show unto his servants, plural. Things. Show things. Not visions and dreams, but to show things which must shortly come to pass. We're talking about things that must shortly come to pass. And he sent and signified it by his angel unto John. And so there are symbols in it. And the beast is a symbol. It may be materialized in a man. It may be materialized in a government. It may be materialized it's going to be materialized in something. And it's going to come from political powers. In fact, we're going to see kings giving their power to the beast willfully. And it's going to be, well, I better save that statement for when we get more down to those verses. But you can see here that this beast out of the sea got its powers like the beast. In other words, this beast gets its political power like worldly powers get their political powers. Does that make sense? Trying to make it as simple as I know how. You say, well, is it going to be America? Is it going to be China? Is it going to be Russia? Is it going to be... I don't know. I can't say when. I can't say how. Other than what the Bible says. But it tells us there's going to be a world power. And anybody that knows anything, that's read anything about what's been going on since before the 20th century, much less the 21st century, these things were happening in the 19th century. For example, our public school system was set up by a God-hating individual that wanted to destroy Christianity, John Dewey. His writings, he said so plainly. I'm not just making up something. And if you want to know why our children have been raised to think like they think today, it's because of this socialistic, anti-God ideological system. That doesn't mean that every teacher is that away, but the whole system is that away, and it has been being that away And we could look at political issues. We could look at a lot of different movements. And all of that has contributed to that. That doesn't mean that everybody that may have been caught up in it understood what was going on. And like I said this morning, our own leaders of this country have been talking about for years a one world government publicly. Publicly. So when we read something like this in Revelation, we should not be surprised. But most people are. And when I was trying to talk about some of this in the 70s to some of my church members, then told me, well, you know, preacher, what you're saying is probably right, but I don't want to hear it anymore. And that's the common thought of most people. They don't want to hear the truth. They don't want to hear the truth. From election and predestination and God's sovereignty all the way down to the rest of the scriptures. People in general don't want to hear the truth. I had a man in my office one time. I just read out of Romans chapter 9 and telling him what I believed. And I just read, I said, well, just let me read this. And I just read the book. I didn't make a comment. And he said, I won't have any part of a God like that. And that was a man that professed to be a preacher. This is what we're up against. And sometimes you'll say, well, I just don't see why anybody can't see it. The reason they can't see it is because God hasn't opened their eyes. And the only reason it's plain to you is because God has opened your eyes. So who maketh you to differ from another? Only God. But anyway, I'm getting ahead of myself somewhat. So this lion, this bear, and this leopard in Daniel 7, and this beast in Revelation 13, both were out of the sea. They both came out of the sea. Look at Revelation chapter 17. We'll get ahead a little bit. I want to read verse 1. And there came one of the seven angels which had the seven vials and talked with me, saying unto me, come hither, I will show thee the judgment of the great whore that sitteth upon many waters. This great whore, Mystery Babylon, is sitting upon many waters. Now drop down to verse 15. And he said unto me, the waters which thou sawest, where the whore sitteth, are peoples and multitudes and nations and tongues. So see, we don't have to guess what the waters are, do we? He plainly tells us that the water upon which the whore sitteth, and we're going to see the connection with the whore, the great harlot, Mystery Babylon, the beast, the sea, the waters, are peoples, multitudes, nations, and tongues. So here we have, as we come on down and see some of this, we have this government that's over peoples and nations and governments and tongues. This beast, this beast is over, ruling over the world. One world government. One world government. So don't call me a fear-mongering person, and I believe in a conspiracy and so on and so forth. Whether, you know, the Bible teaches this. From the Tower of Babel all the way down to present day. You know, the reason there wasn't a one world government in the Tower of Babel, God confused their languages. They couldn't communicate. Now we're getting mass communication. Technology. I listened to a professed Bible news media just about every day. And I get, even that supposedly Christian news source talks about things around the world than it does here in America. You say, well, is that bad? Not necessarily bad, but I want to know what's going on here. You say, well, you're just nationalist. You don't care about the rest of the world. I care about the rest of the world. But in my home, I care more about what's going on there than I do what's going on in your home. You see where I'm getting at? But this breakdown of walls, and I'm not talking about the wall, but that future administration built. I'm not going to get on that subject. But in other words, there is such a thing as nations protecting their borders. And if a nation doesn't protect their borders, then they will be overrun by those that are outside. I don't care what nation or who it is. But we have been taught for the past several decades that we need to reach out to other nations and all become amalgamized and all become intermixed and intermingled with all other nations. It breaks down individuality to the point now that we are no longer male and female, we're A and Z. Now, I'm not trying to be political or be modern news, I'm showing a system of philosophy that we did not get here just by who knows what. It's a system. And it all goes back, while I'm chasing this rabbit, chase it a little more, it goes back to Romans chapter 1. Let's turn there for just a moment. Romans chapter 1. To some of you, it won't be anything new. I read it during lunch. But to bring who knows whom out there in the internet along on the same page, Romans chapter 1, we'll take up in verse 18. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Now what does that tell you? It doesn't talk about the goodness of God. It doesn't talk about the love of God. It doesn't talk about the salvation of God. The wrath of God is revealed. To everybody, to those who suppress, that word hold means to hold down. It doesn't mean that they are in righteousness. They suppress righteousness. They suppress that which is right. They advance wickedness, in other words. Because, verse 19, because that which may be known of God is manifest not only to them, but in them. They know that God exists. For God hath showed it unto them. I don't have to show them. God's already shown them. I don't have to convince them. God's already convinced them. You say, well, they say they don't believe in God. They're lying. They know. They know. You say, well, who are you to say, I just believe God? The Bible tells me so. That's the reason they want to get rid of the Bible. For the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, obvious, being understood by the things that are made, that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because that when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like unto corruptible man and to birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. That's the reason they worship nature. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts. You know why people are doing what they're doing? God just turned them over to themselves. We lived in a time where their lusts were suppressed. Now God's just turned it over to them. It's going to get worse. Sad to say, I believe. To dishonor their own bodies between themselves. You see, they're so vile and so filthy, they don't even have any respect to their own body. They don't care that they're killing themselves. And some of them have disfigured their bodies so much, I just don't even want to look at them. The only reason they can think that this looks good is because they're devilish. Who changed the truth of God into a lie. Now how could they change the truth of God into a lie if they didn't know what the truth was to begin with? See that? And worshipped and served the creature. The tree more than the creator. Who is blessed forever. Amen. For this cause, God did what? Gave them up to what? Vile affections. He turned them over. He gave them up to vile affections. Even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. Likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burn with their own their lust one toward another, men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense which of error which was meet, and so on. So you see, the reason the nations go into destruction is because God just turns them over to themselves. And if you want to see, which I don't recommend, if you want to see how wicked people get, can be, just read about the fall of the Roman Empire. You say, well, why would this beast do that? Because Satan's a liar and the father of it. Satan doesn't build up anything. All he knows how to do is destroy. That's all he knows how to do. And when people are led by a leader of destruction, that's all they can do is destroy. That's the reason people can destroy businesses without any guilt whatsoever. They're hardened in their sin. I'm not trying to be pessimistic, but knowing these things, you should not be caught saying, well, I just don't understand why they can't see it. You need to say, I understand why they can't see it, and it's only by the grace of God that I'm able to. God just had mercy on my wretched soul, or I'd be out there with them. You say, no, I wouldn't. Yes, you would if God didn't have mercy on you. And we see all of these characteristics of these first kingdoms in Nebuchadnezzar's dream. I won't go back and read Daniel 2. If you want to do that, you can do it. Daniel was looking at history in the future. John was looking backward at history. And remember in Revelation 1:19, John was to write the things that he had seen, of the things which was, the things which are, and the things which shall be. That's Revelation 1:19. So Daniel was writing about things that was to happen. John wrote about things that had happened. Some of these things were happening in John's day, and some of these things are to happen in the future. And some of these prophecies in Revelation have a dual meaning. I think we saw something about that last week, you know, about Nebuchadnezzar's fall in Isaiah 14. How they're falling from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning, was talking about Nebuchadnezzar empire falling, but it also was describing the fall of Lucifer, of Satan. So there are passages that do have dual meanings. And we have some of that in Revelation. Now we read about the beast, the same three in the book of Daniel. Turn back to Daniel chapter 7, unless you're still there. And we're going to read the interpretation, which we've already basically stated it, but the interpretation of these beasts, it also in Daniel 7. Daniel 7, we'll take up in verse 15. I, Daniel, was grieved in my spirit in the midst of my body, and the visions of my head troubled me. I came near unto one of them that stood by and asked him the truth of all this. So he told me and made me know the interpretation of these things. These great beasts, which are four, are four kings, which shall arise out of the earth. Pretty plain, isn't it? Those beasts were kings that should arise out of the earth. We've seen a beast that comes out of the sea. We're going to see a beast that comes out of the earth. And we can see that the sea and the earth somewhat are interchangeable. But the saints of the Most High shall take the kingdom and possess the kingdom forever, even forever and ever. Cheer up, child of grace. Even though these beasts are going to come, they have only a short time. We're going to inherit a kingdom forever and ever. You see that? Even if we have to keep that in mind. The saints shall possess the kingdom. These kings will have their kingdoms for a short time, and they will give their power to the beast. But the fourth kingdom in Daniel, we're only talking about three of them in Revelation so far. But the fourth beast was different from all the rest. Notice verse 19. Well, first of all, verse 7 in Daniel. Daniel 7. Daniel 7, 7. After this I saw in the night visions, and behold, a fourth beast, dreadful and terrible and strong exceedingly, and it had great iron teeth. It devoured and brake in pieces and stamped the residue with the feet of it. And it was diverse, it was different from all the beasts that were before it, and it had 10 horns. Verse 19. Then I would know the truth of the fourth beast, which was different or diverse from the others. It was a different beast than the other beasts. Something different about it. Exceeding dreadful, whose teeth were of iron and his nails of brass, which devoured and brake in pieces and stamped the residue with his feet. And of the 10 horns that were in his head, and of the others which came up, and before whom 3 fell, even of that great horn that had eyes and a great mouth and that spake. Sounds like that beast in Revelation 13:5 that was made to speak. The image of the beast was made to speak. Very great things, whose look was more stout than his fellows. And I beheld, and the same horn made war with the saints and prevailed against them until the Ancient of Days came and judgment was given to the saints and so on. So we see this in Revelation, this beast that is to come, and it's going to be there until the Lord of Glory comes. Now, time has caught up with us. But Lord willing, next time we'll talk more about this one beast in particular. We've given you the broad outline. We've given you the broad picture. We're going to try, we've given the sketch. We're going to try to put in a few details as much as we think that the scriptures may enlighten us on this. But we'll stop here for now and come back next time studying this. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We know that some of this can be quite complicated. I pray that I've simplified it somewhat. And I ask our God that you would lead and guide us and direct us. And regardless of what you're going to allow to come on the earth, help us to continue to hold faithful, believe you and your word, even unto death if need be. But we do pray, our God, we might be spared and we might be blessed to lead a quiet and a peaceable life in all godliness and honesty and be delivered from evil and temptation. not because we deserve it, for we certainly do not. We only appeal unto thee because of thy great mercies. And it is in Christ's name we pray. Amen.